I'm chilling on a dirt road, laid back swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting in the console.
Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 31, recorded on July 2nd, 2024. How you doing today, buddy?
Hola, everybody.
Hola.
Hola, la, la, la.
Yeah, well, we're 2 days out from Independence Day, 4th of July, the hot dog eating contest that Joey Chestnut unfortunately got disqualified from, but I'm still going to watch it. But to me, that's about as America it gets. You and I will be getting together for a small get together this year. Not a typical pirate party, but we'll make the best of it regardless. And you even mentioned we might go pick up some fireworks, man.
A few.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, America is 248 years old in 2 days. Ain't it crazy and awesome altogether?
Happy birthday, Mother Liberty.
Yeah, because you know, despite our problems and challenges, I still love this fucking country, man.
Well,
there's
nothing like this country.
There's nothing
in
like
the
this
whole world.
There's nothing like this country.
Nothing
can duplicate it. We're just at a time right now where we've got a lot of divide. And I don't mean to bring this segment down. I was just giving context to it. But here's the thing. Where we're divided, we're also together in a lot of ways, too.
Yes.
Because I know the last few years I've been finding my peace. I know you've been working on your peace as well. I mean, you know, you've got a little more on your plate, so it's not as easy for you as compared to me, and it's not trying to put you down or nothing. You just got a lot more on your plate, but I've even noticed with you, you rarely go into pirate mode anymore like you used to do back in the day, man. You know, you're more of a calm dude. You're still a pirate. You're just more of a calm dude, man.
I like to get in pirate mode occasionally.
Well, you know,
Ain't nothing like being a pirate occasionally.
Well, the other night with your boy, I thought you were about to get into it, but then you calmed down. I was like, wow, okay. No context or detail there. I don't want to get too personal, but just giving examples here, you know, since this is a podcast, this is a radio show, they can't always, they don't know the context of our own lives, you know. We talk a little personal here and there, you know, it's not a big deal. But yeah, man, can you believe that? And then think about it this way. In 2 years, all right, we're 250 years old. And God forgiving that Donald Trump wins and this economy turns around. Can you imagine what the celebration's going to be like for 250 years? I think that'll be pretty cool that you and I can witness that.
It'll be
epic.
It'll be epic. I think the 4th of July celebrations will be epic.
I'm about to say no skipping that year, buddy.
No, I can't skip that year.
I will be busting your chops on that one. But you know,
and I think too that maybe they need to commemorate it with some special.
Oh, they will.
Activities or coins or stamps?
$250 is a big.
That's a big gimmick that we've held this thing together this long.
Now, I'm going to ask you to set your way back clock to 1976. Do you remember the bicentennial when we turned 200?
Absolutely.
Okay, I only remember glimpses of it, but we lived in South Dakota at the time. And there wasn't a whole lot to do up in South Dakota, according to my parents. I mean, as a child, I stayed busy, but my mom, you know, as an adult later told me, yeah, I was always trying to find activities for you. That's why she was glad I loved listening to music, like laying in front of the stereo, playing records and everything, because she said I would just zone out and I would have no problems with that. But I vaguely remember the bicentennial because that was my first experience seeing professional grade fireworks, because we lived right by Ellsworth Air Force Base, which is outside Rapid City. And even up in South Dakota, you know, Mount Rushmore, all that crap, the base put on a professional fireworks show, and we literally watched it from my backyard. And I remember, I think I was like 3 years old. I remember being scared, but intrigued at the same time, because as a 3 year old, those fireworks looked so big. And I think they were professional level. This wasn't some dude in his backyard. These were being shot from the base, and yeah. They put on a heck of a show. And then later on, thanks to the power of YouTube, you can YouTube, you know, people who videoed the 1976 bicentennials. People had camcorders back then, or whatever they called them, 8mm. Yeah, they had eight millimeter back. Now high eight came out a little later, but they had 8mm back then.
Super eight.
Yeah. And so people were able to get some video that you can look up on YouTube now. Plus all the networks recorded it. I remember seeing a thing on Washington D.C. for the bicentennial, and some friends of mine lived in that area at the time, so they went to the bicentennial, and they said it was one of the most unbelievable sights they have ever seen in your life. They said, you want to talk about feeling red, white, and blue, choking in your throat, feeling your heart proud, standing up tall. Yeah. So to hear from an adult perspective what the bicentennial is like, I hope for the 250, we're going to get to feel that way.
Yeah. I remember it was a pretty extraordinary thing. I mean, I was at my grandma and pappy's house for that day.
Was this up in OH-10?
This was an OH-10.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
For all you OH-10ers out there, howdy.
Yeah.
And there wasn't much to do in OH-10. There never is.
Yeah. Well, there's more to do now, but.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it was always just a humdrum.
Factory workers, yeah, blue collar.
Just hanging out. And well, I remember my pappy and my dad, they did some homegrown fireworks at the house. They bought some fireworks and.
You know, a homegrown show?
Yeah, they set it up. My dad always did that. My pappy did too. And they blew off some big old rockets and mortars. And I'm just looking up on the back porch with my grandma and my cousins and aunts and everybody, uncles. We're just chilling out. And all the neighbors were blowing up too. So to me, I was like, you know, 6, 7 years old. I'm like, this is incredible.
You're right.
This is July 4th. I want to see this every year.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of pirates' enthusiasm as
for pyro. Pirates pyro.
That just got because I like the next day me and my cousin went down to the store, and back in those days you can go down to the gas station and buy firecrackers.
Right.
You can buy caps for your guns, you can buy, you know, all kinds of little smoke bombs, and they had all kinds of stuff you could buy back in the day at the gas station. Right. So we were into it then.
We
became pyros because of Ford. But it was just, I know what you're saying, it was just incredible. And I remember after my pappy and dad finished up, we went in the house. My grandma always had a TV in the kitchen on. And I remember seeing the unrelentless rockets.
The TV coverage.
The TV coverage.
Right.
Unrelenting. And they were playing the da 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 da.
All the Patriot.
And it was incredible, the music. I was intrigued by the music because it was really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I seen the crowds and I was like, wow, where is that?
Well, it looks like you got a playlist to work on in 2 years, man. The one thing I specifically remember was my first time holding a sparkler. I was only 3 years old.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to do beyond that. But you know what? That was enough. And I remember it was either my dad or my mom telling me to wave it.
Uh-huh.
And that's where you can see the lines following it. And I remember as a 3 year old, I was just like, wow, that is so cool. So I'm waving the sparkler around while the big old to-do Air Force fireworks are going off. And I think that's kind of helped me because at first I remember I kept jumping every time
a big
fireworks, every time one of those mortars exploded, I jumped and I didn't cry. I don't remember crying, but my mom said a couple times I ran to her leg and kind of hid behind her and was like looking like I was intrigued. I was scared, but I was intrigued. And I think what broke the ice was them handing me a sparkler and just telling me to wave it around in the air, and you can see the trails and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's why when we go, you probably didn't know, that's why when we go pick up fireworks, I always buy a pack of sparklers because I want to do a sparkler. It's like the old kid in me, man.
What the hell?
Yeah. You didn't know that, did you?
No.
Well, guess what? When we go pick up some fireworks tomorrow night, I'm picking up some sparklers again. Plus, I like the snap ones. And remember this time the manager there, the last time he showed us the super duper snap ones.
I still have a few of them.
Those things were loud, dude.
Yeah,
man, I liked it though.
Yeah,
God, they were loud. Yeah, we got to get some of those.
Yeah, I got a few of them.
I know we're keeping it lower key this year, and those are cheap sparklers. And what do you call them? Snap pops or what do you call them? Things you throw?
Yeah, they're snap poppers. Yeah,
yeah.
But the ones that they're the next size.
Right. We got to get the big ones again because those are fun, man. Yeah, but
they have those.
Well, sure. I'm looking forward to celebrating the 248 with you and. Speaking of American, let's continue our talk about cowboy movies, man. What's more Americana than cowboy? Not even a movie, TV you're
talking,
shows, whatever.
You're talking what I like to talk right here.
Yeah, well, we decided that we're going to talk a little bit about the spaghetti western.
And I love westerns that are affiliated with spaghetti. Not a big spaghetti liker, but I like
westerns. And what I looked up here was my man Clint Eastwood here. So I didn't know this. They actually called his spaghetti western the Dollars Trilogy. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a fistful of dollars.
So it was the Dollars Trilogy, also known as the Man with No Name Trilogy. So that it had two nicknames. You're right, because they never said his name other than Blondie. He was just Blondie in every movie. And basically, those films were a series consisting of three spaghetti westerns directed by Sergio Leone. And the films are titled A Fistful of Dollars, 1964, For a Few Dollars More, 1965, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly in 1966. I didn't realize they came out back to back to back like that. They're English versions. So the Italian, the spaghetti westerns, for those of you younger folk who don't know this, back in the 60s, the Italians got into making cowboy movies. And this particular series was hired by Clint Eastwood, which I think helped put him on the map. He was an actor around before, but he was an unknown actor.
He played like in Rawhide and all that before that as well.
He did? Okay. Yes.
But, so but Sergio Leone was the director and producer
of those.
He recognized that, Clint Eastwood would be a good fit for his role.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And, man, what a great person to pick him out as a actor in his videos because, man, every single one of the Outlaw Josie Wales.
But see, that's later on. Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. What I'm going to tell you might be a little heresy. I don't think they're that good of movies.
Oh,
I know.
Look, I don't know, man.
Hey, look, I'm being generous here. If I was going to grade them with a school grade, I would grade them as a B, meaning I think they're good. I don't think they were ever great. I enjoyed Clint Eastwood's work later on with the stuff you just said. The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Yes.
Hail Riders. What's the famous one, his last movie he did?
Unforgiven.
Unforgiven with Morgan Freeman. God, basically. No. And that's only a handful of cowboy movies I can name off the top of my head that Clint Eastwood did. And then, of course, we talked about this last time. I became more of the modern cowboy fan, meaning I enjoyed more of the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s stuff compared to the 50s and the 60s stuff. I will still watch them and enjoy them.
Well,
I just think they're okay.
Here's the thing about the 60s and 70s, like the filmography, the camera angles.
More simple.
Were basic.
Yes.
Your
The sound was basic. They didn't even have stereo yet.
It was
the
60s. Mono, so you always had like this. Hey, you want to fight over there? Type guys talking like that. It didn't sound
the
good.
Same old sound effect every time a bullet hit the building. The same sound effect.
Yeah, and when someone got hit, it was like.
Yeah, it was more like.
Yeah,
you know when somebody got punched in the face, it was always.
And a lot of the characters that played in the movies too, you know, they just had these limited lines to say. You know, they were limited. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the whole movies were kind of basic and there was no,
they were basic.
There was no plot.
There was plot, but it was weak plot.
Weak plot.
Like between the Clint Eastwood movies, the spaghetti westerns. Okay. He was Blondie in all three movies, but the bad guy became his friend in the next movie, the same actor. So it distracted me that when I watched him in order, and I didn't realize, like I said, they came out one year after another. It just distracted me that in the previous movie, the bad guy is now Blondie's friend in this one, or a neutral guy. All they did was keep Clint Eastwood in the same role and switched everybody else around with the same actors. That's what distracted me, you know?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I will still watch them. If you want to say, hey, you want to watch an old Clint Eastwood spaghetti? Yeah, man. And you know what? I might do that anyways. I have not seen these movies in a while. I think I'd like to watch them again. Maybe with the THC, I could appreciate them a little different now.
Yeah, you might could.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate movies more with the Devil's Grass compared to when I didn't. I appreciate
it. Does it make it a little sharper for you or something?
It makes it sharper. It makes you think more, and it's a good thinking. It just, everything has more meaning, and I see more of the deepness to films when I'm smoking and watching a movie.
You're not distracted. You're focused.
I am more focused, but I'm more focused into the deeper levels of the message of the movies, whereas before I would just dismiss it if I was, you know, sober, I guess.
Sure, because your mind's on other gimmicks.
Oh, yeah. You get the freaking iPads and distractions.
More stuff you're thinking on about, what am I going to do tomorrow?
Yeah, man. So the spaghetti westerns aren't just those three. I got the little write-up here. They said they were a broad subgenre of Western films made by Italian filmmakers from the early 60s to the late 70s, also known and more respectfully referred to as Western all Italiana. I like that. Italian-style Western. The genre reached its peak in the late 60s, garnering worldwide popularity. Often filmed with low budgets, spaghetti Westerns featured anti-heroes for protagonists, dastardly villains, desert landscapes, non-traditional music scores, and plenty of violence.
Yeah.
Especially when he put the oven thing on his chest and made himself a bulletproof vest. Those are from those movies.
Put the griddle on there.
Yeah, you put the griddle on there. Exactly. Well, you've got a movie you saw that I need to see. I know it was date night for you, so I won't bust your chops too much, but you went and saw Horizons, man. What'd you think of this Kevin Costner film? Because based only on just seeing the trailers, this looks like a pretty epic, big time movie here, man. Am I in the right direction?
Yes, you are, Chewy. Kevin Costner really put together a great cast of characters here, and a great list of actors.
Okay,
there is a beginning of the pioneer. When they started, you know, trekking out west, it's the beginning of the pioneer days.
Okay.
People
are moving out west.
1862, during the Civil War.
Oh, yeah. Oh, a lot of people were trying to get out of Dodge. They didn't want to fight.
They were trying to get away from the Civil War. I mean, a lot of people got displaced.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they got, right. Some people didn't have a choice.
And the other thing is the railroad was going on at that time as well. And also,
so there was work, there was money, there was opportunity.
Yeah, they had, let's just say it had a little bit of everything going on at once. So when you do watch this movie, you really need to know your American history a little bit to know what's going on in that time period.
Because he's
very exact about what's going on at the time.
Well, as we talked about the other day, when you told me the premise, it sounds a lot like 1883 with different characters.
Am I right or wrong? It is like 1883. It jumps quick, though, and it jumps between – it's like Yellowstone, how they'll have a little story about one of his sons with the wife.
And the flashback scenes.
And then they'll jump to this, and then they'll jump to this with the daughter, and they'll jump – so there's a lot of jumping around, so you really got to, be sharp, Pay attention.
Well, that's why it's good to see it at the theater anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But I did have to get up and, use the restroom a couple times.
You had to micturate.
I had to do that.
Well, that's what happens when you get a 32-ounce pop.
That too.
Did you drink any beer?
No, I didn't.
Did you get the popcorn?
I got popcorn.
You got popcorn. Yeah. And you got the milk duds. I remember that.
We bought milk duds at Squiglicks.
Yeah.
And then
you had some snacks and some drinks while watching this movie. Didn't you say something like 3 hours?
It is long, man.
Really?
And it's got the guy from Old School, the actor that in the Old School.
What, Will Ferrell?
What's his name? Mark Harmon, I think.
Yeah.
It's got
That was Summer School.
It's got, yes.
Mark Harmon was Summer School, not Old School.
Well, it also has the character from the outer range, the character that was the opposite of Royal.
Okay.
The guy that burnt,
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about.
I still got that on my queue. I will watch it. Yeah. I'm going to be like you. I'm going to start it over.
But this is called Horizon, the movie. They got Indians in it. Engines,
yeah.
Yeah, so it shows the engines' lives. It shows how the Americans came out west. The pioneers, how they dealt with the engines, how they dealt with you know, well, traveling.
Everything was fine till the white man showed up.
Well, and it shows how the white people dealt with it. It showed how they, how the army dealt with it, how they hired hitmen to do their dirty work. It shows.
Remember in 1883, they got into it as well with the engines. Like, yes. Elsa got hit with the arrow that had shit on it.
Yes.
Yeah, some kind of buffalo shit or something. And
killed
then
her.
Well, it infected her.
Yeah.
It was an infection. So it's bad enough you get shot by an arrow, which would suck. And then you're dying a slow death.
Buffalo feces.
Yeah. Something like that. Buffalo feces.
And it had a $100 million budget, this movie. And,
wow.
Yeah.
And there's a part two coming out, right?
There is a part two. It's just incredible. Luke Wilson is the guy I was talking
about. Oh, yeah. Well, that's Owen Wilson's brother.
Yes. And
both comedian guys, but yeah.
Yeah. Michael Rooker was in it. Let's see. Tom Payne. There's a lot of different actors in here. There's even some English actors that I recognize in here that I've seen in other cowboy movies. There was just so many. You'll see these characters. Will Patton. Man, there's just so many people in here in this movies that you will see that Costner really got a great cast of actors in here.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it worth seeing in the theater, or can you wait for it to come home and watch it at home?
It's pretty long.
No, it's not. You're missing the contents of the question.
Well, what I'm saying
should I wait till it's on home theater, or should I see this? Like, it's that good, I should go to the movies and see this.
It's worth going to the theaters and seeing it, because I liked seeing everything up on the big screen.
I know some of these actors here. Giovanni Ribisi.
Yes.
He played the medic in Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Danny Houston. Good actor. He always plays a bad guy, but he's a.
Oh, there were so many guys in here. I couldn't place. I'm not like a big, sometimes I can't place what movies they played in. So
I know.
I see a lot of guys in there, a lot of ladies that I've seen in other movies. And I'm like, man, he's got all the good people in here.
Yeah.
And it just, they blended well together.
Yeah, I admit I'm looking this up as we're talking. A lot of these actors I do know for the most part. Even me being a Mr. Hollywood guy, you know, I love entertainment. Only a handful of these people. Oh, Sam Worthington.
Yeah.
Oh, and Sienna Miller.
Yeah.
Okay, man, there's a good handful of good crew in here, man.
It is a good crew.
I like Sam. It seemed like 10 years ago, Sam was in everything. He's an Australian dude, by the way. He was in everything, and then he seemed to have disappeared for a while, and now he's slowly starting coming back because, you know, he was an avatar of the blue people, even though he became a Navi himself. And then, like, the second movie, the sequel that came out a couple years ago, his human character is not even in it at all. He's 100% CG, but it's still his performance. So, sure. No, he's a cool actor. Now, I want to see this. Here you go. 3 hours and one.
I told you it was three hours, brother. And I'm going to tell you what. It was well worth my $12.99 that I spent. Okay.
Well, here's the premise. Chronicles a multifaceted 15-year span of pre- and post-Civil War expansion and the settlement of the American West. Sounds cool, man.
I liked it. There was a lot of different things happening. There was a little bit of violence, a little bit of sex, a little bit of...
Oh, yeah?
You know, adventure, a little bit of...
Well, now I want to go see it.
Horse racing. There's just so much going on in this movie, man. It is really damn good. I am a Western adventurous watching man. I'm a pirate. I like that stuff. It's adventure.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's worth it to see it.
Well, if you're going to grade it on a grade, A minus A, you know, just A, B plus, B, B minus, if you're going to give it a grade, what would pirate grade this movie?
I would say I'd be about an A minus.
And I was just about to predict that. That's what it sounds like.
It wasn't like Unforgiven over the top or Tombstone over the top, but okay. It was.
You know, but you know what I suspect with this movie? Because it is so long. I bet you this is one of those movies. The more you watch it, because I know you'll buy it when it comes out on Blu-ray or digital download. I think this is the kind of movie. The more you watch it, the more you'll appreciate it, the more you'll get into it.
Oh, I'd like to watch it again, and right. I can't wait for the
sequel. There's so many things you miss.
I know it was good because my wife was sitting back in her seat, and she was like this, leaning back, Chewy. She was looking up at the screen, and I said, you like it?
Yeah.
She goes, yeah, I'm watching.
Yeah.
And I could tell her eyes were all big. She's looking out at the screen.
She got into it.
She got into it, and I was like, hey.
Calmly got into it, but she got into it.
She really enjoyed it.
Oh, cool. We have a not to rub it in, because I know you run your own business, but I have a 4-day weekend coming up, so maybe I'll make it an opportunity to go see this at the theater, because I didn't know anybody else who's interested in seeing it, so I'll probably have to go solo, but that's okay. That doesn't bother me, and then maybe the next show, I can give Chewie's review on Horizon, and then you and I can exchange, because you are giving the non-spoiler review. Well, once I see it, we can spoil away.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I wanted to say about it, but
okay, why don't we do that? We'll make
there is just so much happening at once, man. And I'm gonna tell you at the end of the movie.
No, I don't spoil.
No, I'm not gonna spoil.
Okay.
But they do this thing at the end and they just start doing flashing scenes.
Okay.
And I don't know how they created it. It made me seem like I was on a merry-go-round.
Uh-huh.
I just don't know how they did it with the camera. But these scenes were just moving across the screen, dude. And you're just like, it's giving you what's going to go on in the next episode type scenes.
Oh, really?
Like teasers and
really?
like they're letting the year go by quick or something. Like they're trying to jump time. I don't even know what to call that, man. I'm just, it's beyond what I can think. It's just, it was incredible. And they were playing like these drums.
So the anticipation and everything was building
all,
up.
You're getting all lathered up going, what the hell's fixing to happen? Like, and then like every now and then they would take the cymbals and somebody would shoot a gun or somebody get punched or, wow. And I was like, this shit's incredible, man.
Okay.
Like Costner, he's right.
He is a great filmmaker.
He acted in this son of a bitch.
I'm not going to say Costner is my favorite actor, but let me say this about Kevin Costner. And the guy's been around for a while now. I discovered him in the 80s, like a lot of people.
Yeah,
I know he did some movies in the 70s, but he wasn't too well known in the 70s. It seemed like when I look back at Kevin Costner's movie history, everything he does is good. He even played a movie, I forgot the name of it, like 20 years ago, where he played a baseball pitcher.
Oh, yeah, that was a great movie.
And I didn't think it'd be that good. And then I saw it, and I'm like, damn, this was a good movie. Because everyone knows Field of Dreams, beautiful movie. I love Field of Dreams. But this was a different movie, different characters.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it was another baseball movie. But it just seems like everything he touches, and even the stuff he gets slammed on a little bit, like Waterworld, I still enjoy Waterworld.
That movie. That's a pirate movie.
Right. You know a movie I haven't seen yet by Costner that I want to, because I've heard mixed things about it, but seeing that I like Kevin Costner, I want to see it. I've never seen The Postman. I was told that's actually a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good one.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a 25, 30-year-old movie, too.
That's from the 80s, I think.
Yeah, 90s.
Late 90s, yeah.
But what about his other stuff? What about Dances with Wolves?
That's perfect, that movie.
Beautiful, beautiful movie, dude.
Tatanka.
Oh, love Tatanka, man.
Hey, have you ever seen American Flyers?
No.
It's a bicycle racing movie that he put on about the Coors race that they used to have back in the day when Coors used to host the...
Coors. Okay.
When they used to have the Coors race back in the Colorado mountains in the day.
Okay.
And they themed the movie about this, dude. You need to see American Flyers.
American Flyers. Well, let me make another side note here. You're just going to add to my list that I'll put down.
You need to put that one to the front list since you're watching
the
tour.
No, everybody says that, and I can't.
I'm going to tell you what.
You're right. I have the tour on. Guess what? This whole next 3 weeks
is the tour.
I'm not watching anything else. So I'm going to start getting really behind on things, man. I mean, after this podcast, I might be able to slip in one episode of something I need to watch. But right now, dude, I'm dedicated to the tour. Yes, the Tour de France is on. I'm playing the replay for Pirate because
they're going down
down the hill,
down the Pyrenees Mountains right now.
They're on day four now of 21 stages. And this is actually their first day in France. Their first 3 days, they did legs in Italy. So they actually started the race in Italy, but now they're in France. And today was a mountain day. So I got the replay on right now.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. I definitely want to see this. You got anything else to throw in before we wrap this up?
No, that Horizon movie, I can't wait for the next one to come out. And kudos to Kevin Costner for making something good. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is This Day in History, July 2nd, 2024. Okay, 1964. Civil Rights Act was signed by U.S. President Lyndon B. Johnson.
Oh.
Yeah. Signed the Civil Rights Act. It was a hallmark event. And this was the first big civil rights amendment.
Not amendment.
Or
a law.
Law signed since the Civil War.
Mm.
You know, that was a lot of years between the Civil War.
Well, the
1964. And that's 100 years.
And this is where I wanted to, I didn't know you were going to talk about this, but I have a couple opinions about the Civil Rights Act. What, sure. Let me get your opinion first, because this is really your segment. What do you think about the Civil Rights Act? Do you think it is lawful? Do you think it's helped things in this country to advance things? What's your opinion on that?
Well, the Constitution pretty much says everything that it needs to say. A law pretty much is something where, okay,
thank you,
the police need to go and enforce this because these people aren't, I mean.
Well, okay, let me get technical on you. Okay. In spirit, I support this law.
Sure.
Okay. But when it comes to the technicality of being a conservative and a constitutionalist, the federal government has no say to be telling a state what to do with their segregation laws, with
education system.
Well, that's where it hit, obviously, but many other things like coffee shops and all that stuff. So in spirit, I support it. But when it comes down to the federal government, that's not their place. That's
no,
up
it
to,
isn't.
That's up to the state to decide.
I'm 100%
decide.
With you, Chewie.
It's a 10th Amendment issue, and I'm not trying to come off as some racist bigoted here. I am just telling you from the purity of the Constitution, in my opinion, this law is unconstitutional. And it should be struck down by the Supreme Court, which they didn't. It was brought up. It gets brought up several times. It still gets. I think it got brought up as soon as just a few years ago. The reason being is that there were some people that believed that LGBTQT rights also apply to the Civil Rights Act, which became a law, where no such thing is written in to the Civil Rights Act. The Civil Rights Act, in its purity, was about you will no longer discriminate based on someone's color, their skin, their ethnicity, and your race, which to me would include LGBTQT people.
Well, according to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, that all men are created equal.
And when we mean by men, that also means you women, too,
yes,
before you get bent out of shape over
it. Well, that was because this was written in the 1700s, and that's
right.
How they
and
spoke.
And there was some masculinity going on, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with masculinity, because the last I checked, it's called the Founding Fathers, not the Founding Mothers. Not to say that women did not contribute in their own ways.
And let's go back to that was how things were done in those days.
That's just the way that things were done. It sounds like simpler times, though.
No, they were very simple.
Anyway,
let's
so
move
yeah,
on
so
before we get into a tangent.
Well, no, we're not getting into a tangent. I just had
that could be another important segment in a show one day, and we will bring that up again.
It is. But yeah, let's continue on, sir.
So, 2002, American adventurer Steve Fawcett became the first balloonist to circumnavigate the world alone.
Wow, was he lonely?
I don't think so. I'm sure he had to really be careful what he was doing. And
did he get high?
He had to pull that helium thing to make the flame.
Yeah. And I'm sure there had to be some kind of pressurized cabin, because you can float into areas that it's not so much low pressure, but the air is very cold.
Sure.
Think about it. Like if you fly over the Himalayas, it's going to be cold as shit.
Yes.
You know, so I'm sure he didn't have that regular basket like we saw at the Brandon Bloom rally days. I'm sure he had a pressurized capsule or something.
I don't know.
He had to.
I didn't do a lot of looking up on it.
It's another one of those things which I kind of know a little bit about, you know.
Well, I remember the balloons around here.
Yeah.
I really like the ones that just fly in baskets.
And then how about just last year, dude? Was it last year? I think it was last year. We got the Chinese balloon.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And they said that was a nothing burger. And then our own president let the thing fly all over the country until it got off the coast of South Carolina. Then an F-22 Raptor with the Sidewinder missile shot it down.
Wonderful.
But they're telling us nothing to worry about.
And you notice that nothing's ever been said about that again.
Oh, yeah. Well, the story went away, didn't it? Yes, hey, it something did. Fishy going on here.
Please, people, do not forget about these things.
Oh, no, I don't.
1979, U.S. issued the first Susan B. Anthony dollar coin.
I remember those coins.
I still have a lot.
They had a funny shape to them.
Yeah, they had kind of like a octagonal or something shape.
Similar. Yeah. I know octagon's not right, but something like hexagon. Yeah, something I think like it was that. A hexagon.
It was like slanted.
Well, hex is eight.
Yeah, it was slanted angles, like a stop sign almost.
Yeah, it was almost like a ching coin.
Yeah. Making Anthony the first woman to be depicted on U.S. currency.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a big deal. I remember when those came out, I remember getting one of those coins and,
I remember about 20 years ago, they did it again, but this time it was a gold $1 coin with Setchikawea on it.
I remember.
Oregon Trail lady.
I have a few of them too.
Yeah. Since you were just talking about pioneering and everything. I mean, she helped Lewis and Clark, hey, follow me.
Right.
Me know where to go.
1962, American businessman Sam Walton opened the first Walmart store in Rogers, Arkansas.
1962, wow.
It was the start of what would become the largest retail chain in the U.S. with all American products. But nowadays, there sure is a lot of Ching Long products.
Well, I honestly did not know about Walmart until about the mid-80s, because growing up in this town...
Oh, they didn't have Walmart right away.
They didn't? Well, I never even heard of the name, because in retail, in the 80s, at least up to that point...
Kmart and Zayers.
Kmart, Zayers.
Montgomery Ward.
Montgomery Ward, Sears.
McCrory's, Kresge's.
And a lot of people don't remember this, how about Duh Sears?
Duh Sears, too.
It was a private company that just sold appliances and TVs, but they were a good company. They
were like the Best Buy of nowadays.
Well, they were specifically appliances and electronics, which made them stand out. Whereas Sears, you can pick up a washer, you can buy a TV.
Well, Sears was
and you can get
general merchandise,
right? Store. And you can get a 3/8-inch, ratchet set.
You can get everything.
You couldn't go to DeSears and get the ratchet set. Is my
point. No, DeSears was more of an appliance store.
Yeah, but no, that's cool that Walmart is about as Americana as it gets to. Yeah, it's all Chinese shit.
Well, the first
Walmart's helped a lot of communities, man.
Well, the first Walmart I ever went into was the one in Plant City back in the
day. Okay, and then my first Walmart is the white trash
Mango.
Here off of MLK.
And Mango.
Which is still white trash.
Yeah, that was in Mango.
Yeah, still big time white trash, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's the OG. We get pissed off around this town about how older buildings are getting knocked down and businesses are closing down. Well, if you want a little bit of nostalgia, because that's the OG Walmart and Brandon that opened up in the mid-80s, you can go to that one.
Yeah, it's been there a long time. I mean, it's modernized inside and all.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's got everything in there.
Oh, well, okay. And it's been like 20 years since I've been into that Walmart.
Oh, no. I've been there a few weeks back.
It's okay now?
Yeah, I bought a cooler in there a while back.
No, it's still white trash, right?
Yeah, but I mix in well.
Okay. I know I'd mix in too.
Yeah, you look like a Ching Long trash.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I can put on an accent when I walk into that Walmart. You wouldn't even know that I'm just this white boy that was born in Tokyo.
What did you ever go in there and tell anybody? Somebody need to go to the bathroom.
That's only when that crazy Jimmy guy pops his little shit bag, and then he smells up the whole place, and the next thing you know, we got a civil war on our hands. I see. I can mix in.
Yes, you can. Well, maybe we should both visit that store one day.
Well, you want to take me on a field? Hey, you took me to Rural King. That was fun.
Yeah, you like
it. Hey, and that's white trash.
Hey, that's a great place.
But it's white trash.
Tractors parked out front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gross me out, though, because we walked by the chicks area.
Right.
And then you said, one of these days, some of those are going to be at Hooters. And I'm oh, man. I love animals. And look, I am no vegetarian, but I love animals. And when you slapped me with some reality, I actually didn't like that, man.
Sorry, but all
it's facts. Wings. Look,
Chicken wings come from chickens.
Hey, look, it's facts, okay? I'm a chicken wing fan, but you just made it a little emotional for me. That's all I'm saying, man.
One day I'm going to have to show you how to skin up a chicken.
I mean, like little Gudu just walked in here. Can you imagine?
We don't eat cats, though.
Because we're not Chinese. I'm Japanese.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, that's cool. Wait a minute, since I mentioned the Japanese. Anyways, Walmart, Americana.
Yep. 1881, shot on this day, U.S. President James A. Garfield, and he died several weeks later on September 19th.
He was assassinated?
Well, I guess they're saying that it was an attempt because he didn't die right away.
Okay.
He died from the wounds later.
Yeah, but still an assassination.
Yeah, somewhat, yeah. Yeah, he was
it's one of them. It's a slow assassination.
Yeah.
He said he was shot?
Yes, he was shot on this day.
Wow.
July 2nd.
Wow. 18.
He wasn't very much liked.
Well, obviously somebody went. Think about back in those days, unless you were really in the clique, you didn't know shit about no politics.
No, no.
You know, so he must have really pissed somebody off that much to just walk up to him and fucking put a bullet
in
him.
Well, in them days, there was no Secret Service or nothing either.
There wasn't. No, that wasn't formed. Well, no, there was. What year did you say that?
1881.
No, there was Secret Service. Secret Service was formed after Abraham Lincoln.
You're right.
However, were they as sophisticated as they are now?
Nah.
No, man.
You could smoke pipes and
you could still get in a shot if you wanted to.
I'm sure you could.
Right, 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 right. Yeah. Hell, I think.
Think they had bulletproof wagons?
No, dude. I heard in American history there was a point, and I don't know which president got caught off, but they said it was very common for a commoner to walk up to the White House door.
And knock on a door.
Knock. And
hey, can I come in, y'all?
Well, politely ask to see the president.
Yeah, I like to see the press.
And they said there were a few occasions where the president wasn't doing anything and opened up their schedule to talk to a commoner about whatever they wanted to talk about.
Now, I want to tell you about my hay field, you know.
Yeah.
We're really not putting out a lot of production this year. We just don't have enough help.
Well, see what happens here. Is them dirty ass French Louisiana people keep on coming here and burning my crops.
That's what's happening too down there.
So Mr. President, I need you to do something about it because, you know, I feed Washington, D.C. Without my farm, y'all ain't gonna have no bread. And when there ain't no bread, people are gonna get all pissed off and shit. So I need you to go take care of that.
Okay, well, we're gonna contact the first lieutenant and the cavalry and we'll get back to you, sir.
Yeah, we'll send them down and we'll handle it. That's awesome, man.
Speaking of, 1776, after a dramatic all-night ride, Delaware delegate Cesar Rodney arrived just in time to cast the one and only decisive vote approving the Declaration of Independence.
Nah.
He was the last
man. Passed by one vote?
He was the last man to sign that son of a bitch.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He was the one and only last man. Wow. They were waiting on him. See, he was in Delaware, and he was the sheriff at the time.
Okay.
And the governor.
Mm.
I mean, Delaware's a little gimmick. You know, it's just a little thing on the map.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was everything, this guy. This guy is, matter of fact, he was, during the Revolutionary War, he was also the leader of their army.
Okay.
Delaware State Army.
Oh, okay.
So this Cesar Rodney.
He was a big to-do.
This guy is a patriot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And matter of fact, I realized after I read a little bit more about him, because I've never read about this guy, and he is on the 1999 quarter,
mm-hmm.
and it shows him riding a horse. And it commemorates the first state of the United States, 1787, Delaware.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Joe State.
It is Joe State. And I mean, that is just great that Cesar Rodney rode in.
Well, since we're talking Patriot stuff again, and it is a four-day weekend coming up, you know, Fox Nation has a couple new shows out there. Like Kelsey Grammer has some kind of new American Patriot show. I don't know what it's about.
I've seen that.
But I think I'm going to watch it because I watched his last one on the Revolutionary War, which was done very well. I watched the Dennis Quaid one with the Marines.
Oh, yeah, about the fighter planes.
Fighter planes, but it was all Marines, so that was a big deal for me because that was the side of the Marine Corps pirate I never got to see. Even though I was at an air station, I didn't know what those pilots were doing for their training.
Ah, you were different. That's different work duty.
But that's cool to see something that I was a part of in some way, even though I wasn't. You know, it was like, because the whole idea with the Marine Corps is called MAGTAF, Marine Air Ground Task Force. The Marines are the best when it comes to coordinating air units and ground units. And this is what makes the Marine Corps unique. They're usually all Marines or Navy. Air Force does come in and help.
Yes.
But predominantly, if the guys on the ground are getting lit up and they need air support, they're calling in their fellow Marines, either in a Cobra helicopter pilot or an F-18 Hornet, and now the F-35 Bravo, which can hover and take off.
Yes.
We're calling in. When I say we, Marines are calling Marines first 99% of the time, and that's why it works so well. No other branch of service has that. Yes, the Air Force is the Air Force, and they do support us with close combat air support. But the Army doesn't have, the Army has it to a certain degree with their helicopters, but they don't have fixed wing like the Marines. Navy does what they do. Navy's got the boats. Navy also has aircraft, and the Navy does support the Marines, but they're the second to get called if the Marines aren't available first. But most of the time, it's going to be the Marines delivering that kind of support, man.
Yeah.
So that's cool, dude.
Yeah. It's real cool. So that is, that part of this day in history, but we got to move on to Born on This Day.
Oh, Born on This Day. Okay, I almost hit the applause button.
Yeah, don't hit it yet. Remember, it's always born. See, what we need to do is get a sound button for like Born on This Day. Like you just do a today is your birthday,
or just. it sounds like we broke up the segment. It's like, okay, and now it's Born on This Day.
There you go. Born on This Day, July 2nd, 1947, Larry David, American comedian and writer / actor. He was one of the co-creators of Seinfeld. Okay.
I'll say up to that point, I had no idea who you're talking about.
His name's been thrown around a lot. 1908, Thurgood Marshall, lawyer, associate justice, U.S. Supreme Court, and civil rights activist.
Yeah.
1942, Vicente Fox, Mexican businessman, politician, and president of Mexico from 2000 to 2006.
I remember him. I don't know who the current president is, but I do remember Fox.
He was a conservative.
He seemed like a good guy.
He was a conservative, and he spoke with...
Yeah, I don't hear shit about Mexico's president now. I think they just had an election. I think a lady won from Tijuana, so people are thinking it's all cartel.
Yeah, well, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but yes, it was a woman.
Okay.
I have notes on it somewhere.
Pinche mujeres?
That too. So, 1898, Anthony C. McAuliffe, U.S. Army general who commanded the force defending Bastogne, Belgium, in the Battle of Bulge.
The Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah, my pappy fought in the Battle of Bulge.
Yeah.
So, that and this guy here, he started in Normandy, worked his way into Belgium, and went all the way
to
the Germans and fought.
Crazy, huh?
And he was a army general, fought along Patton and all those other guys.
Wow.
He commanded many, many guys. Born in 1898, man.
Wow, that's a badass right there.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
So, happy birthday, and that is This Day in History. Thank you very much.
So the debate, Pirate, I know you watched.
Last Thursday I did.
Yeah, I did not. I woke up the next day to get the highlights. And, of course, I've got some things to say, but I think you have a little more to say about it since you watched it. But basically, before I hand it over to you, I basically feel like I didn't miss anything.
You're right. I mean, let me tell you, it was on CNN, correct?
Yes, CNN and hosted. It was their moderators, Jake Tapper and that blonde lady. I forgot her name. Sorry.
That's okay.
Allison, I think.
Yes.
And something.
And pretty much they did their job pretty well, those two.
From what I saw, yes, it wasn't.
They were very professional. They weren't condescending. They weren't
biased.
They weren't, you know, being pricks or anything.
That's cool.
Matter of fact,
I would not expect that from CNN.
Matter of fact, they gave Trump the floor.
Well, based on what I saw, Trump's answers were coherent, precise, witty.
Yes.
Whereas Joe started rambling about stuff, and at one point he said, "We defeated Medicare." Well, what is that supposed to mean, you defeated Medicare? And then, of course, Trump followed up with, yeah, he defeated Medicare all right with all these illegals and the money running out, you know, just handing it out like it was candy.
What was happening was, is, you know, Biden would say something. All right. You know, I did this. And then Trump would say, well, you know, what were we going to do about all these illegals coming over the border? You know, I had my wall I was building.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was saying, I just talked to a mother of a child where she was raped by illegal immigrants.
Something like 72 executive orders Joe Biden changed on immigration and border that were Trump era policies.
And what was happening was, is Trump was coming back with some great defense.
He had some zingers.
He had zingers, great things to say, what he was going to do to protect the country from all these, you know, immigrants and these criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And immigrant, he was calling them Biden immigrant criminals, something like that.
Yeah.
And Biden, on the other hand, I was watching a camera angle, and he was just looking. I sent you some screenshots.
Just staring off.
He just had this look like this.
Yeah, just staring off in his face.
It was just, it was ridiculous, dude. And I was like, this is the best that this country can, in the Democrat Party, can put out there. This is totally absurd.
But some people would argue that for the Republican Party, too, with Donald Trump.
That, too. But at least Trump wasn't staring off. And, you know, he was... Dude, this guy was mumbling. At one point, Trump said, whatever he said, I don't understand what he said.
Oh, no, that was the other thing I was going to say, because Jake Tapper sent it back to President Trump. And he goes, I don't know what he said. I don't think he knows what he said. Which again, was like, holy shit, man.
Yeah. And I think at that point, everyone in the United States realized that this guy is really bad. But
the spin machine pirate is still in effect, because even though, and I'm talking about the media here, and then the Democrats who got their heads shoved so far up Joe Biden's ass, they refuse to see an evil, corrupt person this is. I have some friends who I know who are staunchly, if they could, would stick their head up Joe Biden's ass. Okay. But anyways, even with that, these people still acknowledged that it was a disaster for Joe Biden, but are also spinning it that Trump is also crazy. Trump. Nancy Pelosi said Trump is the one showing dementia. So what this is classic spin, classic redirect. Instead of talking bad about Joe Biden, we're going to make this about Trump. And that's when they say TDS, Trump derangement syndrome. That's what a lot of people in this country have, is TDS, because even after that disaster of a performance, the media is freaking out, dude. The Democrats are freaking out.
I think there's a lot of people freaking out, but remember that there are a lot of people that are still supporting him, that are on his staff.
That's what I mean. The rumors have it, he's pissed off at his staff for making him look like the fool.
But he made himself look like the fool.
But
a lot of these people are following through with, you don't make your boss look bad.
Right.
Because you never know what position or who you're going to work for, because I think they see the writing on the wall. I think they know that this guy is going to lose.
Here is where they're setting themselves up so bad, okay? First of all, Joe Biden said he was going to be a one-term president.
Yes.
Okay. What happened? Why is he running again? I can tell you why he's running again. Because the backup, Kamala Harris, would be even a worse disaster than
him. She's a laughing, gaggling.
Than him. Right. He is an incoherent puppet which they still can kind of control. They cannot control Kamala the way they control Joe Biden.
No.
And here's the thing. She is a DEI hire. It's quite obvious
she
now.
She fit all the check
boxes. She fit all the check boxes.
Yes.
Okay. And look at
this. That's what happened. You get what you get when you check boxes.
Right. And look at it this way. I know the VP's not always the most popular when it comes to politics and how this country
The VP
runs
job is the easiest okay. job there is.
Exactly. The perception is it's easy because most of the time you don't hear shit about the VP.
No, he's flying off to some country to talk to some ambassador or something.
We certainly hear a lot about this VP. And why?
Because
the media loves her because she hits the check boxes. But every time she starts running her mouth,
oh God,
it's yes. And then and the cackling, she just got raked over the coals the other day because she's talking about to some Tanji, some actress who was in Hidden Figures. Good movie, by the way. But they did this commercial where she's FaceTiming Tanji and Kamala tells Tanji, oh, you know, we've been out on the streets taking care of this, yo, almost talking like gangster.
Oh, she's a like, gangster
yeah.
now.
He's like, oh, yeah, Kamala, you went to the streets, huh? Really? You?
She's never been in the streets.
Well, maybe back in the day, but when she was attorney general, maybe.
I don't even know if that's...
But I'm just saying, everything about her is fake. And getting back to what my original point, which I was building up to with the VP. Though not popular, VPs usually aren't. She is... Okay, what has she accomplished as VP? She was assigned to be the border czar, didn't do shit about that.
No.
She was sent overseas for a couple things. I can't say good or bad about it. I just don't know what her great accomplishments are other than that she's a black Indian woman who happened to be a former attorney general and again hit all the check marks for DEI. This is why the Democrats are freaking out, Pirate. I just saw this thing today. Because now they're talking about replacing Joe Biden. Well, that would fracture the party because having Gavin Newsom, who would probably be the most likely forefront guy for the Democrat Party, say Joe Biden stepped down, they would shoo in Gavin Newsom. Not so fast. There are Democrats in the party, the Democrats party, there are Democrats are saying, hold on a second. You're going to bring in another white man to be the leader of our party? So instead of loving Gavin Newsom for being a fellow Democrat, they're going right to the skin color.
They're pushing the race card now.
They're pushing the race card because they're also saying you're skipping the black woman, Kamala Harris. Why aren't you promoting Kamala? Why are you bringing in Gavin Newsom, the white guy? Well, if I was a Democrat, which doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't take much thought to be a Democrat, I would probably be with that too. You're not going to bring in that white dude. Kamala is the next in line to the White House. She is right now the next in line to be president.
Technically, yes.
Why aren't, but even...
If something were to happen to old Joe today...
Exactly. But at the same time, if Joe were to step down before the election... isn't she supposed to be the next candidate for the party? One would think so.
Well, there are some rules, and
there are no rules against it. She can become the candidate.
Some of the state rules about early voting are fixing to kick in.
Well, that's the problem. She won't be on the ballot in enough time.
She'll have to be a write-in.
Well, exactly. And not every state has a write-in.
No, they
don't.
Every
state's different. The thing is, they need to. It comes down to time is running out for the Democrats because they have up to the convention. The convention certifies the candidate, okay? They need to get Joe off the ticket and Kamala put into place is the only way to probably guarantee a win for the Democrats. Crazy enough, I thought Gavin Newsom was more popular than her. Turns out it's the other way around. The Democrats see Kamala being more popular than Gavin Newsom to be the next president. So they are divided within themselves and they've got so many problems. And the reason why back to the convention thing, the reason why they need to get this done is that'll give them enough time to go back to the states and get Kamala replaced on Joe Biden as the candidate. Because like I said, not every place has write-ins.
Well, this is where
it might not even be an option.
This is where they're going to screw up, because July 22nd starts early voting in some states.
Okay.
And if they don't get their shit together, they're going to start losing votes.
Right. Say, well, exactly. Say you're a Democrat.
Because
right?
if Biden's out and someone votes for Biden,
it's a waste of a vote.
That's a waste of a vote.
I'm saying, what if you're a Kamala fan and you show up to your ballot box to find that she's not even an option
and you
anymore?
Might not know what to do.
And the thing is, you'll have to skip it. You can skip a vote. You don't have to vote.
Sure.
But that puts their own principles into a pickle, because they wanted to have Kamala on there. But since things are so screwed up right now with the Democrats, with Joe Biden, time is ticking, dude.
Well, this is the whole thing that bothers me. And I was thinking about this today, is if you really knew who you wanted to put in office, why play these games? Why play?
But that's what it is, though, man.
These games?
You know,
pick a person that you want to support.
I get it, dude. I know.
Put them out there.
I know it's frustrating. However,
I mean, like, it'd be like if the Republicans, you know, we already figured out we don't want Ron. We don't want your buddy Chris Christie. We don't want
Fat ass.
We don't want Nikki Haley. We don't want
Vivek.
We don't want this. Okay, everyone made their fucking decision, right?
Right, right.
And now here we are. We got Donald Trump. Everyone says in the Republican Party or whoever,
they want Donald Trump.
Hey, we need Trump because we need to get back to the days of
Trumpism. To make America great again.
We need to make the shit good again.
Well, they're doing their best to stop that too, because his penalty phase date is going to happen right around the time of the Republican convention.
Yes.
And there is a possibility, Pirate, they will put this guy in jail.
Well, there is a big other possibility.
This is going to turn this country upside down if that happens, because we'll get into it later. We have this SCOTUS ruling that came down with presidential immunity.
That can help out as well.
But that's a tease. We're going to save that for later, because let's stay focused on
this debate here. Why these Democrats, why wouldn't they just say, look, we want, you know, let me throw a name out there. We want to have, you know, Michelle Obama as our presidential candidate.
Look,
why not push for her the whole time?
Because the Democrat,
why play these
the Democrat
games?
Party has lost their way. They have allowed the ultra leftists to take over their party. The Democrat Party, up to a certain point, and we're talking contemporary history, we're talking in the last 50 years here.
Yes.
The Democrat Party used to be for the blue collar man.
It was the grand old Southern Party.
For the working man.
Yes, it was.
For families, for harmony, all that stuff. Help out your fellow man. The Democrats used to be about that. Not anymore. They are about LGBTQ rights.
Divisiveness.
They're about anti-white.
Anti-white.
They're about pro-foreign illegal immigration.
Yes.
They are pro-vax.
Yes.
They are pro-Ukrainian war.
Anti-gun.
They are anti-gun. They are for drugs. They are the party of crime, because a lot of these cities, Democrat-run cities, you can steal as long as you keep it under $850 and don't get prosecuted.
Don't forget anti-religion.
But I'm just saying, back to my point of that, why even pay for anything if you're not going to get prosecuted over? To me, if I know I'm not going to get prosecuted, I'm just going to take it.
Right.
But that's what they create. That is what their party is now. And then they're also the party of the lying ass media. Just the stuff the media talks about, it's garbage. Even Fox News is pissing me off, man, because I'm a clicker. I don't just watch one source. You know,
well,
for those of you,
a lot of those
who you talk about. Well, it's but all that corporate media is all freaking turning into leftists. They are leftists.
I've even noticed the local news.
Local's very lib.
The local Fox station here is pushing segments that are all about like, oh, we need more affordable housing. People can't afford it, so the government needs to help out.
Yeah, we need more government.
Yes, and I'm thinking, why do we need more government?
Yeah, that sounds very conservative to me.
So that's just going to make Florida's taxes go up higher, yeah, isn't it?
Of course it is. There's nothing. There's
people can't read between the lines.
There's no such thing as a free lunch, man. I mean, somebody is going to pay for it in one way or another.
Yes, and all this media.
Like me, I am single with a home and I pay my property taxes. Why am I paying for public school? I don't think that's right. So when somebody tries to get condescending with me, when we talk about the, you know, the, this is a little bit of a tangent, but how public school is a disaster. And I get told, well, you ain't got kids, so you ain't got to worry about it. You shouldn't say anything.
Well,
I was like, yes, I am going to say something because my money is going into this crap.
Well, think about this, though. If school was working good and school was producing great students, then obviously you being a single guy, you want the future to be great. So obviously you would like to invest in the future by paying your taxes to for the
community.
Schools, for the community to be educated. I mean, you just don't want a bunch of homeless crackheads out on the street
all
the time.
Of course not. But
so you want the community to produce great people. Right, correct?
But the program and the money that's going into public schools, it seems to me it's just getting worse and worse.
No, it's terrible, man.
More parents are putting their kids into these charter schools, homeschools, and private schools, and these kids are coming out with higher grades.
And they're better kids. They're not getting involved in violence and other things.
No, exactly. Well, anyways, back to the debate. We always tangent off, but back to the debate. They are in trouble. They know they're in trouble. They couldn't spin it. I did watch MSNBC the next day with Morning Joe and Mika. Joe even got short with his wife on national television, which I thought was, an embarrassment. I'm like, you're supposed to be professional journalists and you're acting like this. Like, they got into a small little tiff on air because they're husband and wife, you know?
Well, Jill, Biden.
Not Jill. Morning Joe and Mika.
Okay, but
Jill Biden, sorry.
But yeah, moving on to Jill Biden, you know, this girl is the woman behind the scenes running the country right now.
She's part of it.
Yes.
She's part of the marionette.
The puppet factory.
They're part of, she's holding a couple strings.
Yes.
The suspicion is that Obama's really running this country along with Susan Rice and a couple other high powerful Democrats, because a lot of people said that in a lot of ways, Joe Biden's presidency now is Barack Obama's third term.
It is,
you know, but it's again, all those things I hit, it's taking a deeper dive. And now people are sick of it. Look what's happening to Star Wars. This new show is DEI as hell. Even me, being a lifelong Star Wars fan pirate, I stopped watching it. I have no interest in to keep watching it because, first of all, it didn't feel like Star Wars. This bitch who wrote it had an agenda and admitted it to it and then turns around and blames us fans that it sucks. It's like, excuse me, bitch. I didn't write your fucking story. I didn't produce it. I didn't direct it. I didn't come up with the cast. I didn't do any of that stuff. I just gave you my opinion that this show sucks because of DEI, and somehow that's my fault? Fuck you. And that's what's happening now. More people are tired of this shit. Like, look, got nothing against gay people and your lifestyle. I just don't want to hear about it. In my opinion, this has been one of the more quietest Pride months we've had in a while. I don't remember it just this last month. I don't remember hearing a whole lot about it. There was a parade and everything in downtown Tampa. I had a couple of friends that went.
Yeah, I see.
I just don't see it as much. I think after the backlash last year with Dylan Mulvaney and Target with the tuck pants, people are tired of hearing about a small percentage of the people who want to be on their soapbox and be like, hey, me, hey, me. And then they get called wokesters and the people defending them get pissed off about it.
Well, let's back up a little bit. I mean, the whole concept that they're going to use all these special interest ideas,
the special interest,
to push their agenda, to push their votes, to keep them in office so they can make money and generate more money and generate donations. It's just, I think that that whole plan that they have is starting to be, you know, it's like when they scooted the curtain back on Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
And I think we've figured out who the man is behind a curtain now. And
yeah,
I think,
the swamp.
Yeah, and we've seen the swamp and what's going on, and that's what the swamp is about. All this stuff that you're talking about this DEI, this Dylan Mulvaney,
the wokeism,
the you know, anti-gun talk,
bad entertainment by Star Wars because it's woke, or entertainment in general,
Walt Disney BS. All this stuff, you know, the things that they push, whether it's guns, whether it's abortion, whatever they're pushing, these are our items just to drum up people's interest in votes.
Well, and it's to drum up division.
They
want the divide because whoever comes out on top controls.
They want divisiveness between the people,
mm-hmm.
and they want to be able to control and power. And they the Democrats are just high on power.
Oh God, yeah.
And you know, Biden and Jill will not let this presidency go. If you think that he's going to step down, this is going to be a long month.
And that's the pickle they're in. He was only supposed to do this one term and pass it off. The problem
he's not
passing it off. He's not going to. The problem with passing it off is that he has to pass it off to Kamala. And most of the Democrat Party knows that she's not the answer either.
She's not fit.
Again, it's the minority of the Democrat Party. And I don't mean black minority or woman minority. Small amount of people in the Democrat Party, which is still powerful enough, their own groups, to be like, you better not put Gavin Newsom in place of Joe Biden because that completely goes against our DEI.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. So that's all I got for this debate, man. I just
buckle
up, man. We're in for a ride here, man. There's going to be some decisions coming out here. We got other things that we want to talk about when that's related to this with the SCOTUS stuff.
Well, and there's one more debate down the road. We'll see if we get to it.
Right, and there's supposed to be a debate after the convention with the VPs.
Yes,
because we don't know who Trump's VP candidate is yet. Yeah. He said he's got it down to three people, but he hasn't picked it yet. And it's coming down to the North Dakota governor, Burgum, J.D. Vance, or Marco Rubio. To me, I think it's a shame that they couldn't use Kristi Noem or Tulsi Gabbard, since the only way to fight DEI is to DEI them back. What would be more DEI than having President Trump pick a female VP candidate and like, hey, look at us. We can do the DEI too. You know what the check mark is? Woman. Tulsi gets two check marks. She actually gets three. Woman, Polynesian, minority. She's a minority as a woman. Minority is a Polynesian. Here's the other big to-do. Lieutenant Colonel, United States Army Reserves.
Yep.
Man, she's got some check marks herself. So why not? I think he should pick a woman. I don't think it's going to be Noem. Unfortunately, that dog story kind of bent people the wrong way.
She's a rancher. I mean,
but buckle up, buddy. This is going to be an interesting ride, man.
Yes, it is. Florida man news. There's news that everybody in Florida wants to hear.
My favorite segment, man. I can't wait to hear you spill the beans of what the beautiful residents of my beloved home state are doing.
Transplant residents, most of them.
Well, that's what it is. I was talking to a buddy about that today. That, you know, he's talking about, you Florida fuckers, you guys always have the crazy ass news. I was like, what you OH-10ers don't understand, and you know who I'm talking about, what you OH-10ers don't understand is that all these freaking crazy ass people are transplants.
Yeah.
They came from your area, you fuckers.
They came from OH-10.
Right. And for some reason, when you came to the state, the heat got to your brain and you decided to do the dumb shittery that you're about to spill the beans on. So let's do it.
Florida man admits to shooting at a Walmart delivery drone, damaging the payload.
He's got a problem with drones.
Yeah, they are annoying. But anyways, a Florida man is facing multiple charges after he shot a Walmart delivery drone in Claremont, Lake County.
I heard about this.
So the Lake County sheriffs received a complaint about the ordeal. According to the caller, a bullet hole was found in the package that the drone was carrying.
My package is damaged.
I'm glad it wasn't like a box of like wine that you would order.
Oh, that would suck. Or what if it was vinegar?
Yeah.
Oh, or how about bleach, man? It gets all over someone's yard or their car. Next thing you know, why are there white spots in our yard?
Yeah. What if it was fireworks?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Too bad it wasn't back in the day when Walmart still had ammo. They could have been like shotgun shells he shot.
And it came from Walmart.
Yes.
Yeah. You can tie them two together.
Yep.
Investigation over.
So witnesses say 72-year-old Dennis Wynn.
Dang, man, a 72-year-old guy.
This is an old-ass cracker, all pissed off.
Yeah, he's pissed off. You don't like that technology crap.
I don't like that stuff up there in the sky there, boy. Yeah, that's
Chinese-made spy.
Chinese bullshit up there in the sky. Get that hell out of there, boy.
That's a spy equipment that them Ching Wong Chinese want to do, so I'm going to shoot that thing out of the sky.
Let me get my Smith & Wesson over here. Let me see if I can make a shot. Hell yeah, just like World War II. I'm good as hell. So, yes, sir. Dennis Wynn admitted to shooting the drone one time with a 9mm pistol.
You got a one shot off, huh?
Hell yeah, man. According to the sheriff, Wynn tried to shoo off the drone and it didn't go away.
You try to shoo it off. And the thing is, those things are automated. You don't have a pilot flying them. It's automated.
Yeah.
Like a pilot launches it, but it has a destination. It's all on its own. So he's trying to. So it's not like my drone, you know, where I'm controlling it the whole time. This dude's trying to shoo it off.
What a dumbass. Anyways, so it didn't go away. So he shot at it.
Of course it didn't go away.
He said, and quote, I fired one round at it. They say I hit it, so I must be a good shot. I'm going to wind up having to find a real good defense lawyer.
Oh, my God.
He was taken into custody and charged with shooting an aircraft, criminal mischief, discharging a firearm, and public property.
Oh, man. He's going to get the rap sheet put up against him, all for one bullet.
Just leave it alone, man.
I know, man. You got so pissed off that you decided to shoot it.
People get fired up, man.
Oh my God. But you know what it comes down to, and this is what we need to get back to. Show me where this bothers you.
Right.
And that's all it is, man. Live and let be. We were talking about this on the phone earlier about the Europeans and some overseas. They're more chill when it comes to stuff like that.
Just let it go, man.
Yep. Live and let be.
Florida man wrangles a 17-foot python with bare hands in the Everglades.
Wow.
A man in the Everglades wrangled a 17-foot python under the moonlight on a dirt road in the Everglades over the weekend.
You got the Florida version of the crocodile hunter here.
Sir Matthew Kogo, 49, is a python hunter for the FWC program.
Wow.
And he wrestled with the enormous snake while his wife, Michelle, shot the video of him.
Of course.
And they posted.
You got to get hits and likes.
Yeah, they posted it. And he had a headlamp on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm trying to tire out the snake. Pythons like to tire out. So, you know, that's what he did. And then he was saying here that pythons are invasive species in Florida.
They are.
Found primarily, for you OH tenors, in the Everglades.
Yeah. And to give you some context, what happens, people, is these folks in Miami and Fort Lauderdale, they think they want a snake. And then they realize that snakes are not exactly pets. They can be assholes because they're a snake. And what they do is they drive them out to the Everglades and dump them out there and basically throw them into the wild. And here's the sad part for these pythons and these boas. A lot of them are born in captivity, so they're somewhat tame. Now they're having to learn to be wild again, but they breed so fast that they're starting to take over the ecology down in the Everglades. So that's why they authorize these hunts now, man. You can get a lot of money for pythons.
Thank you. Thank you. So basically the They average around 6 to 9 feet in length, but this 17-footer is big.
Ooh, boy, that's a big snake.
And so they have a few predators, like you said, and so they prey on local species and reduce the populations, their populations of these species, and then they consume endangered species as well.
And that's what they're worried about. The Florida panther is still an endangered species, and these pythons are starting to take them out.
And they do eat neighborhood cats and dogs as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so that being said, the state holds an annual challenge every year, the Python Challenge, to control the species, and it starts in August. And this year's competition starts at midnight on August 9th and ends on August 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to sign up, you need to get with the FWC and get your qualifications going.
Go Python hunting.
And you can head on down to the Everglades, put your hat on with the little gator tooth in it, and put your headlamp lamp on and get a machete and go to work.
A machete?
Machete.
We can't shoot it with the 12 gauge?
You can shoot it or you have to exterminate it. There are certain rules.
You have to exterminate it. Okay. So he didn't take this he didn't wrestle this snake with his bare hands to take it in as a pet.
No, this one here was because he was working in conjunction. It was wrestled and then brought into a
Then the wife filmed it for YouTube.
Rehabs,
probably filmed it vertical too.
Well, if you do see a python, you know, if you're out in your backyard and you see one, you can report it to 1-888. I've got one.
Really?
That's the phone number.
Well, I was about to say, what if that happened around here? It's a possibility. You never know. Call because one. They say they are moving north too. Moving. That's what they're worried about. So even with these hunts, they're still not all of them are getting hunted, and there's the one that's breed, and they have several eggs.
Well, who's to say someone didn't throw one out in their backyard here in Sefner?
They could. Yeah. Scary, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, keep an eye on your good cats and dogs. Don't just let them roam around. Dogs, I wouldn't worry about as long as they're medium size. You know, you can wrangle them off pretty quick. But your cat or your small dog, if they don't make a noise,
they're toast.
They're going to be dead.
Yeah.
They're going to just become lunch.
Yes. Florida man accused of stealing $3,000 worth of dirt. One man's plans were soiled after he was busted stealing 15 loads of dirt worth $3,000.
Wow.
Lee County Sheriff's responded to Anaconda Avenue in Lehigh Acres after a victim reported soil missing from their property.
Wow.
The arrest report says Dimitri Alexander Alvarado, 33, ordered a machine operator and 10 trucks to the property to remove the soil.
The victim, looking at Dane, I got you some ice cream.
The victim is a field operations supervisor for Lehigh Acres Municipal Services Improvement District.
Well, that's some expensive dirt.
Yes, it is. He said that upon arrival to the property, he noticed that trucks and the loader were there. And he says there was no authorization. Takes 2 to 3 months to get authorization. And I didn't recognize the man. And he was fit to be tied, I guess, after that. So he reported him, and Alvarado was arrested and charged with grand theft. And he was taken to Lee County Jail.
Wow.
Unbelievable, huh?
No kidding, man.
Okay, we got another one here. This is a nice one here.
This is another doozy.
This is the doozy of the week, y'all. Florida man who swam to an island after assaulting his girlfriend. So the Florida man who swam to the island after assaulting his girlfriend has been caught.
Oh.
Yep. Gerald Joyner, 42 years old, was captured and charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, domestic battery by strangulation, and felony battery.
Wow.
Says the Port Orange police.
Hey, sounds like a real loser.
Yes. Joyner allegedly struck his girlfriend on the head with a handle of vodka.
Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Then choked her by wrapping his hands around her throat and then using a rope.
You fucked it up! You fucked it up!
He hit me in the eye with the bottle of vodka, says Joyner's girlfriend. He said he poured it out, but then he drank the vodka.
Like, that makes it better.
She probably told him, you better pour that vodka out. And he said, all right. And then he just drank it. And then he said, shut up, and then slapped her one.
Shut up, woman.
Yeah.
The steak was cooked wrong again.
Yep. And then so police say the girlfriend had a broken arm that resulted from this incident.
Jeez.
And the girlfriend managed to break free from Joyner after the choking with the rope incident.
Mm-hmm.
Bystanders stepped in and temporarily pinned him down to prevent him from causing any more harm to the girlfriend.
Wow.
And Joyner was able to escape from these pinners that pinned him down, and he swam to an island along the intercoastal waterway. Police officers then...
really trying to get away, wasn't he?
Yes, he did. Police officers, after a while, decided they would travel across the intercoastal in an FWC-supplied boat to this island that they seen him swim to.
You got to track him down.
Yes, and after an extensive search that evening, Joyner was found later in the night inside a pop-up tent that he set up in this island. So he went camping.
he was prepared. He was a prepper, man.
Yes, he was.
Like, after I beat the shit out of my girlfriend, I'm going to go hide out in the woods for a while on an island I'm going to swim to.
Yep.
And it almost sounds like a movie, man.
Yep. And he was taken into custody swiftly, and Joyner is in the Volusia County jail under a $17,500 bond.
Sounds like the adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Wow. Wow.
And that is Florida Man News.
News items in pop culture. So a bunch of little quick random stories that we like to do, and we're going to get through this fairly quickly because we're getting long.
Do we want to put like an 8-minute limit on it?
Well, we're getting long in the show. Yeah, you know what? I'll keep an eye on the clock here. It won't be exactly 8 minutes for those of you that are going to start being a nerd and count. Well, I'm going to see if it really does 8 minutes or not.
Should we put the Benny Hill little we're going in fast mode?
Yeah, something like that. No, we'll get through this pretty quick. The show's going long, plus it's getting kind of late for us. It's a weekday night. Both of us are working men in our own right. So let's get through this. So veteran reporter reveals how many mental health incidents Biden suffered over the last 18 months. So after the debate, now people are talking about, where were you the last 18 months, Mr. Doctor? Anyways, not many want to run for United States presidency in the modern era. You must be a crazy person. You subject yourself and your family to the scrutiny of the world. We also need to know about your health. This issue isn't Biden-centric. Health issues, among other things, derailed George McGovern's 1972 bid, since his running mate Thomas Eggleton was revealed to have suffered several mental health issues and depression. Some episodes required hospitalizations, electric shock therapy. Back in the day, they used to do that. In the modern era, you can't be a half-brain dead zombie like Joe Biden, whose mental issues were ongoing issues in the administration for the last 18 months. So again, what was dismissed, conspiracy theory, everything. Now there are more people coming out and talking about there's something seriously wrong with Joe. What do you think of that part?
Well, there's been something seriously wrong with him for many, many years, and it's just been brushed under the rug. And I think the fact that it's being exposed recently to, you know, I guess the left media is a great thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Joe doesn't seem to be able to, get through things. So, as you know, I don't want to beat the dead horse. We already talked about that on the other segment. So let's do a fun one here, since we kind of got political in nature, but hey, we talk about everything, right? How about the best 25 superhero movie villains of all time? I'm going to just quickly get through this list here and would like your opine on some of this. I know we're in the geeky, nerdy section that you're not too privy to, but you know some of this stuff. You know who Superman is.
I despise it, but I like
it. You know who Thor is and the Hulk and all that.
I like the Hulk.
Well, these are going to be the villains. So let's start with number 25, the Penguin, Batman, one of Batman's nemesis.
Thumbs up.
Everyone always goes with the Joker, but the Penguin's a big one. Now, this one I didn't know. This came from the Batman cartoon, the Mask of the Phantasm. I guess he was a very good supervillain against Batman in this Batman movie. Came out in 1993. I never seen it. I've always heard about it. Even me being a geek myself, I still don't see all these geeky things. Sure. Some of them get past me. This one did. This one's not too well known, but I like this actor. His character's name was Top Dollar in the movie The Crow, played by Michael Wincott. He basically played the gang leader. Did you see The Crow with Brandon Lee? Came out in the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big deal because he actually got killed on set. And one for the first time ever, even in the 90s, they used digital computers to insert him into scenes that he never filmed. So that was a big deal back in the day. So you do remember that movie?
It's been a while.
Yeah, well, I didn't know his name was Top Dollar. I don't even think they ever mentioned his name in the movie, but he was pretty cool. How about number 22 here? Bane, another Batman nemesis guy. So up there with Joker.
I don't know too much about that guy.
He was the big bald dude. And the thing was, is he didn't have super strength, but, well, in the comics, he had super strength, but he couldn't feel any pain. So if he got punched in the face, he wouldn't feel it. So think about how long you can keep fighting. I mean, eventually your pain is going to break a bone and succumb you to, you can no longer move. But the fact that you can't feel pain seems like to me, you can keep fighting for quite a while, huh?
Yes.
All right. This one I didn't know. Neville Sinclair. Timothy Dalton played him in The Rocketeer. Whatever. Deacon Frost, played by Stephen Dorff in the movie Blade. He was a bad guy against Wesley Snipes. Pretty good character. I liked him. Did you see Blade with Wesley Snipes?
I don't remember that one.
He was a vampire hunter.
No, I don't.
He was half vamp. It came out. So he actually unofficially started off the superhero thing, Wesley Snipes with Blade. It came out, I think, in 1999, and basically the premise is that he's half human, half vampire, and what that gave him an advantage is that he had all the strengths of the vampire, but none of the vulnerabilities, He hated vampires so much, he hunted them down.
I don't remember that.
So he was badass, dude. I mean, the guy killed vampires, and he's part vampire himself, you know? Guess he didn't like his kind, huh?
Probably not.
How about another Batman guy here, the Riddler?
I like that guy.
Yeah. Getting down here on the list. This one you probably won't know. I didn't know his name either. Ozymandias. He played a bad guy in the movie Watchmen. Didn't see that. Yeah.
No bell ringing here.
I know. Well, see, I know the character, but I didn't know that was his name.
Okay.
It's like one of those things. Mysterio, a Spider-Man villain. He can do magic and illusions and all that stuff. I was like, okay, whatever. This one's a good villain. And I got to name the actors playing up too, because that's what matters too, the actors behind playing. So Jake Gyllenhaal played Mysterio.
I know that guy.
Right. He played Mysterio. He was in the second Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland. Did a good job as always. Love this guy. Lex Luthor, Gene Hackman in the original Superman movie.
I like that one.
Freaking Gene was awesome in that one.
That was really good.
As a kid, I didn't like him because he was the bad guy. But as an adult, I'm like, he's still the bad guy. But God, Gene Hackman was so good, man.
Yeah, he played a good cowboy in Unforgiven.
Heck, there you go. Helmut Zemo, I only knew him as Zemo, played by Daniel Brühl in Captain America Civil War. Pretty good bad guy. But not superhero, like super villain. This one I didn't know. High Evolutionary, played by Chiwetel Ejiofor. I don't know, from Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I don't know. Yeah, bro guy.
Yeah. I don't know that guy.
Don't know him. I don't even remember. Okay, this one's a great one. Another Superman reference, movies. General Zod, Superman 2, played by Terrence Stamp.
Oh, I love that guy.
Kneel to Zod, son of Jor-El. Yeah. Kneel to Zod.
Yeah,
no, he was awesome, man. Yeah, he was arrogant himself.
He was a serious bastard, I mean, too.
Because the thing was, is they had the same powers as Superman because they came from Krypton. And I remember when he got the president to submit to him, the president told him, "There's one man who wouldn't submit to you," and he said it so calmly. He was like, "Who is this? Who is this imbecile?" Because he didn't know that Superman, Kal-El, was on the planet.
Yes.
Because they didn't think these humans, they're beneath us. You know, they discovered really quick that they have powers. But he said calmly, he called Superman an imbecile. He was great, man. Mr. Glass by Samuel Jackson in Unbreakable. good role. Weird movie, though. I don't know if you've seen him, though.
No, I never seen
that. Unbreakable and Glass. Very, very weird. Yeah, man. M. Night Shyamalan. How about Syndrome, played by Jason Lee in The Incredibles?
Oh, yeah. I remember that guy.
Yeah. Okay. This is a good one. Loki, Tom Hiddleston.
I remember that guy, too.
I love Loki. For a bad guy, I liked Loki. Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man 2, played by Alfred Molina. He had the four silver, like, snake, like, tentacle arms.
Don't know him yet.
Dr. Octopus. Okay. This one you'll know. Danny DeVito as a penguin.
Yeah, he was
really very dark movie, though. I like Michael Keaton Batman movies, but that second movie from Batman Returns 1992, very dark.
And I really liked Michael Keaton in that movie. Yeah.
Of course, this one is one of the greats from the previous movie, Batman with Michael Keaton, same universe. Jack Nicholson is the Joker.
That is phenomenal and legendary.
Awesome, man. Yes. God, he was so good in this movie, dude. He was sick, but he was funny. You know, I mean, even when he was hanging off the ledge and then the lightning hit and there's a gargoyle and the gargoyle has the same face as the Joker. He's like, what are you laughing at?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. He had that voice.
Yeah.
Piss you off.
There's a good one here. Magneto, Ian McKellen in X-Men. He can control metal.
Oh,
you seen these X-Men movies?
No.
Oh, good movies, though. This is he did good. He was Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It was a good one. Green Goblin from William Dafoe from Spider-Man. Of course, he had the big role in Platoon. Same actor in the green suit there. Yeah, William Dafoe.
Yeah,
man. And then he crossed over into Aquaman. He did pretty good as the Green Goblin. Crazy, crazy dude. Michael B. Jordan, Killmonger in the Black Panther. Yeah, he was pretty mean.
Did that guy, is that the guy that died recently?
No. Oh. The guy who played Black Panther passed away. Okay, Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace. Here's one that you'll like. Catwoman, Michelle Pfeiffer.
I remember this movie.
Ooh la la.
Yes.
Yeah, man. All right, down to the last one. Oh, okay, this is another iconic one. The Joker, Heath Ledger on Dark Knight.
That was pretty good, too.
Dude, hey, just like Jack Nicholson, iconic and legendary.
Yes.
Completely different from Jack's take of the Joker.
Sure.
Both sick. He wasn't funny at all. He was sick.
He was just dark and sick.
The entire fucking time. Yeah, and it's so good. And rest in peace, Heath, man. What a way to leave this planet, man. Leaving this with us forever, man. I mean, he died way too young, man, which is a fucking shame, dude.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Even at the award, he won the Academy Award posthumously. Christian Bale accepted it for him, and he was up there crying his eyes out because they became good buddies, man.
Yeah.
You know, even though in a comic book world, they're nemesis. So, so good. All right, we'll finish off with the last one here, and then I'm going to pass it on to you. This one I agree with. Thanos, Josh Brolin, man. The guy was a complete badass and nothing was going to stop him to end half of the life in the universe. That was the whole premise of his character in the Marvel movies, is that he wanted to end half the life in the universe because we're eating up too many resources, according to him. And that's what he was countered with. Who are you to decide that? Well, at one point in the movie, he did accomplish that, but the Avengers being the Avengers were able to do a little time manipulation and put things right again and eliminate him.
Yeah, I didn't know about this movie, and I didn't know Josh Brolin played in it. But
that's your outer range guy, man.
Yes, it is.
Doesn't he look like Grimace from McDonald's?
He looks like a big-ass Grimace.
So let's talk about the SCOTUS immunity case here. So what I know about it is that basically, this stuff that they're trying to prosecute him on that happened as he was president, they're saying that he can't be prosecuted on it.
No, they can't. And I think that it might overturn some of these, like the Manhattan case.
They think so.
And this is probably a good direction for him.
No, it is. It is absolutely a good direction. And that's why the Democrats, once again, are freaking out.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they didn't prepare
themselves. Because it goes against their ideology. Did you hear what Sandy Cortez wants to do?
She wants to go.
She wants to bring up articles of impeachment on the Supreme Court's justices. So what she's having herself is a political temper tantrum.
Yes.
Because it's all about the TDS. It's all about getting Trump. Let's ignore what Biden's doing to this country because Biden is awesome. It's Trump that's the problem. And now that these bullshit political cases are going to, it's already backfired, but on the legal end now, it's backfiring. In the court of public opinion, it's already backfired. But legally now, it's starting to backfire. And here's the thing. No appellate court, because it goes back to the lower courts, but no appellate court or even with this upcoming ruling could possibly continue on with this. And what I mean is throwing him into jail because of this New York case.
Yeah, you know? Even Biden was fired up. He spoke for about 5 minutes about it the other day in a little dress.
Yeah, and guess what they did to him? They put orange paint on his face to make him look more tan. Yeah. So now, you know how Trump's been called Orange Man?
Yes.
Well, now Biden is being called Orange Man, but the difference with Biden or Trump, where he's never been accused of wearing makeup, it's just his natural complexion. They made Biden look orange because at the debates, they said he looked too white.
I think it's just a desperate
attempt. It is, dude. It looks so... Dude, did you go back and watch this little speech he did today or yesterday? It looks so bad, dude. It looks like he went to Mary Kay and give me some of that orange foundation right
there. That's just a desperate attempt to
try to... He could have done a Tropicana orange juice commercial, man.
Yes, he could have.
With the lady. Remember the lady with the fruit of the basket and everything? Yeah, the wine lady.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man.
This is just a desperate attempt by Biden to try to bring himself down to the level of Trump's level, I guess, to be the orange man and be likable like Trump is.
Oh, he's so likable. Yeah. It is. In a way, I bet you that's what it was.
He's like, I got to be liked like he is.
Yeah, they can't stand Trump, but they acknowledge that he's still popular. And maybe by oranging up Joe Biden's face.
Well, they're just trying any angle. They're trying to wedge in any angle.
Nothing's been working.
Nothing's sticking with Biden.
And it's continuing to not work.
And the big problem with this is they did not load up the Supreme Court with the right Supreme Court associate justices like Trump did.
Right. And that's what it is. That's the argument. It's Trump's appointments that's helped in setting up and shape some of these rulings and these laws.
Sure. They got his back, man. They know they have his back. And you know what? That's common sense right there, man.
Right.
Always build your team.
Right.
Always build up a good team. Always build up a good administration. And always, just keep a great back plan or a backspin plan. You always got to have a plan.
Right.
And I think Trump, he thought this out well. He knew that down the road that these people were going to be going out on a witch hunt for him.
Yeah.
And of course, here he is. He's got this... this Supreme Court ruling about the immunity.
The immunity. And they said the other thing, not just the New York case, this documents case will probably now fall apart for Jack Smith. And even Jack Smith is now under investigation because they said there's some kind of rules that were violated to appoint him as the special prosecutor that they violated themselves, which they actually even said is unconstitutional. I don't know the details of what makes it unconstitutional, but basically... Because of the case, basically, it's just like the opinion of all the other cases, the New York cases and stuff. It should have never been brought to a charge because you didn't have a charge or a crime to accuse them of. But they made it up to take expired misdemeanors, turn them into felonies just to try to wear them out. That's what it is. They're trying to wear him out. To keep him from being president. That's how desperate they are. Anyways, let's move on. What's going on with the cruise ships here, man?
So the icon of the seas, the world's largest Royal Caribbean's international.
Yeah, that's a Royal Caribbean ship.
Yeah, the icon.
Now, is it Royal Caribbean or is it Royal Caribbean?
I'm both.
Okay. Well, how about Billy Ocean's Caribbean Queen?
Yeah, that's how it should go.
Now Caribbean. We're sharing the same thing.
I think if you're kind of redneck or hillbilly or the, you know, just regular folk, you're just going to say Caribbean. But
well, that's how Billy Ocean said it, and he's Jamaican.
Well, he's part redneck. Well, too.
I'm just saying, wouldn't you go with what's more of the native tongue because he's Jamaican? He's from the Caribbean.
So he's Caribbean.
Well, he made the song Caribbean Queen, and he sang it as Caribbean Queen. He didn't sing it as Caribbean Queen. No, he didn't say it like that. He sang Caribbean Queen. See, there's a little bit of difference right there. Yeah. Anyways, what happened to the ship here?
Well, it caught fire.
Whoa. With cruise passengers on board?
Yes, 10-4. So it...
That sucks.
It had a massive power outage.
Ooh. And then caught fire.
Yeah, the fire broke out Tuesday while the ship was docked at Costa Maya.
Well, at least they were in dock.
Yes.
That's better.
And no one was injured.
Okay.
And the crew members worked to put out the fire, and the ship's backup power was immediately activated.
And you know what? Hats off to the crew. That's good. That's good training.
Yeah. Can you imagine if they just sat there? I don't know what to do.
Well, they handled it. Well, they're trained.
Yeah.
They're trained. They're trained over again, man. Good for the crew, man.
Yeah.
Nobody got hurt.
250,800 ton ship.
Ooh, kind of big.
2,800 guest cabins.
Shit. Just cabins. So you know what that means? That means the guest count can go up to like 5,000 because sometimes you have 3-4 people to a room.
It's a lot of people up on that
boat. That's a big ship, man.
Yep, yep. And it costs about $1,450 to $1,850
to get on that. And you know what? I bet you that's for an inside cabin. If you want a window or a balcony, that's going to cost you more money.
They have another range from $2,800 to $4,800.
There you go. Yeah, that's okay. That's balcony right there. I guarantee you, because I've done a few cruises. I know the prices now.
I mean, they got like
it ain't cheap.
They got these water slides, roller coasters on this.
Oh yeah, man!
All you can swim buffet.
You know, Pirate. I know you're not the biggest boat guy, but I think that's more small vessel. I could see you, and we need to do this as buddies. And you bring, of course, you're going to bring the wife along, and I'm going to bring myself along, and maybe a girlfriend one day. But regardless of the girlfriend or not, you and I need to do a cruise.
Okay.
I think you would actually enjoy it. And look, very simple. We pick one right here out of Tampa. We don't have to go that far. The beauty of it is you go out, you do 4 or 5 days, you enjoy yourself. Even if you don't enjoy yourself, when you get back into Tampa, you're immediately going home. Because I've met people, and I've done the cruises here out of Tampa a couple times. I've met folks where... Oh man, I got to fly back to Minnesota. I got to fly back to Maine. I got to fly back to Texas or something. Like their vacation is over, but their travel is not over, which can be hectic in itself, especially with a family, right?
Sure.
Like me by myself, no problem. So I think you would actually enjoy it, man. And if you didn't, okay, did it, done it, whatever. You know, hey, we got invited to go on this cruise with this other friend of mine, but the timing wasn't right. Heck, I invited to 2 cruises within this same 2 weeks of now, but timing and De Niro.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with things.
Money has a lot to do with things. So I'm just saying a future trip. So what? So what's this thing you got about doggy DNA, man?
So, yeah, these HOAs that have the, you know, you can't leave poopy on the ground when you take your little...
Well, that's just rude. You know, you should clean it up.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day when I was younger, I think people just let their dog shit wherever.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
I think this has become a Karen thing nowadays, but but anyways...
I don't know. I'd be a little upset to find shit on my front yard that's not my dog.
Yeah, I mean, it is a pain in the ass to clean up. So here...
Clean it up.
Do you have a furry friend who likes to leave surprises on the ground? Well, you better start scooping up after them because DNA testing is coming to sniff out the culprits. You read that right. Some apartment complexes, homeowners associations, and are requiring their residents to have their dog's DNA tested.
Oh, man, even the apartment complexes are getting in on this? Yeah,
so if you bring your puppy, then bring your puppy down to the lab. We need to get some prereqs and some tests to find out.
Man, a freaking crime lab here for shit.
Yeah, we want an
doggy shit.
They want to have a database of doggy DNA profile, so if they scoop up some poop that's found on the premises, put it in a little sample bag, they can connect it to the guilty party and issue a fine. Isn't that pretty extreme?
Man, we are getting sophisticated about finding out who's shit in my yard.
Well, I mean, it's,
wow.
That's just some crazy stuff. That's some crazy
I look at it this way. If you're a dog owner and you're walking your dog and your dog takes a shit in somebody else's yard, you should clean it up.
Sure.
However, I remember as a kid, before I mowed the lawn, I walked the yard anyways. I walked the yard to look for debris. So I throw branches and moss, get it all out of the way. So when I mow, I'm gonna know how I don't have to stop doing this.
Sure.
That was the other part too, was once in a while cleaning up some shit, you know, and it doesn't mean it happens all the time and it's no big deal. I think you should clean it up. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying leave your dog shit on somebody else's yard. However, it's actually a little advantageous to the person the next day or the day after that has to clean it up because the shit does dry up and it gets harder.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to pick up. I have personally picked up dog shit after the dog just, dude, it's hot and warm, man. Ugh. Yeah, dude. And don't get me wrong. You put the bag over your hand, but you know what I'm talking about, right? And without being too nasty. I've
never done this in my life.
Oh, you haven't? You never picked up warm? Dude, it's like warm mud.
I use a shovel, dude.
But you're out walking your dog. You're not taking a shovel with you when you're walking your dog. So yes, it's gross. But as a dog owner, you should do that.
That sucks, dude.
All right, well, that'll go ahead and wrap it up for news items and pop culture. What a
shit way to end
that segment. That was a shitty way to end that. I got you on that one. All right, well, that'll go ahead and get us to the end of show 31. I'm glad you guys listened. And, hey, we were able to do back-to-back week shows, man. It was awesome to hang out and talk with you again, Pirate, and looking forward to the festivities this weekend and stuff.
31 in the books right there.
Yeah, 31 in the books. So happy birthday to America. And the song of the week is from Don McLean. And Pirate picked this. It's called American Pie. And it is a record or a song that came out in 1971. And it's a little long. It clocks in at 8 minutes and 42 seconds. But you know what? Great song.
Awesome song.
Love it, man. It's American Pie. Of course, nothing to do with the movies American Pie, but you know how much I love those movies as well. Sure. Hey, it's the 20 years ago, which is crazy. It's been over 20 years, actually. But it was the 20-year-ago version of Porky's, in my opinion. Yeah. American Pie was very similar to Porky's. And Porky's, by the way, was a Florida thing. Did you know that? Yeah. All filmed in Florida, based in Florida.
East Coast.
I think. It's funny to think in the 50s what our fathers were doing, possibly.
Yeah. Well, the Don McLean song is kind of like a song of the, you know, could reflect on nowadays what we're going through.
Could be. Yeah. Well, that's going to go ahead and wrap up this show. Please send us an email at akebonoradio@gmail.com. Look for us on X for at Akebono Radio. And we are all over the road with Pirate and Chewbacca. And you can reach us at www.akebonoradio.com, where this show will be uploaded to. And you can save the file if you want. Share it with your friends. Any parting words, Pirate?
When you light the firecracker, make sure you're not holding the firecracker.
Or put your face over the mortar, right?
That too.
See ya.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, and do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? The day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone, but that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. King was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown, the courtroom was adjourned. That I die. Help the skelter in the summer swelter, the birds flew off with a fallout shelter, 8 miles high and falling fast, and landing foul on the grass. The players tried for a forward pass with the jester on the sidelines in a cast. Now the halftime clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight. The day the music died, he was singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove a Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die, this'll be the day that I die. I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken, and the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died. And they were singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die, this'll be the day that I die. They were singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.